Our scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel chapter 13. We have been working our way through the book of 2 Samuel. And we are to 2 Samuel chapter 13 this morning. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. In the course of time, Amnon, son of David, fell in love with Tamar, the beautiful sister of Absalom, son of David. Amnon became frustrated to the point of illness on account of his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and it seemed impossible for him to do anything to her. Now Amnon had a friend named Jonadab, son of Shimeah, David's brother. Jonadab was a very shrewd man. He asked Amnon, "Why do you, the king's son, look so haggard morning after morning? Won't you tell me?" Amnon said to him, "I'm in love with Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." "Go to bed and pretend to be ill," Jonadab said. "When your father comes to see you, say to him, 'I would like my sister Tamar to come and give me something to eat. Let her prepare the food in my sight so I may watch her and then eat it from her hand.'" So Amnon laid down and pretended to be ill. When the king came to see him, Amnon said to him, "I would like my sister Tamar to come and to make some special bread in my sight, so I may eat from her hand." David sent word to Tamar at the palace, "Go to the house of your brother Amnon and prepare some food for him." So Tamar went to the house of her brother Amnon, who was lying down. She took some dough, kneaded it, made the bread in his sight, and baked it. Then she took the pan and served him the bread. But he refused to eat. "Send everyone out of here," Amnon said. So everyone left him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the food here into my bedroom so I may eat from your hand." And Tamar took the bread she had prepared and brought it to her brother Amnon in his bedroom. But when she took it to him to eat, he grabbed her and said, "Come to bed with me, my sister." "Don't, my brother," she said to him. "Don't force me. Such a thing would not be done in all Israel. Don't do this wicked thing. What about me? Where could I get rid of my disgrace? And what about you? You would be like one of the wicked fools in Israel. Please speak to the king. He will not keep me from being married to you." But he refused to listen to her. And since he was stronger than he raped her. Then Amnon hated her with intense hatred. In fact, he hated her more than he had loved her. Amnon said to her, "Get up and get out." "No," she said to him, "sending me away would be a greater wrong than what you have already done to me." But he refused to listen to her. He called his personal servant and said, "Get this woman out of here and bolt the door after her." So his servant put her out and bolted the door after her. She was wearing a richly ornamented robe, for this was the kind of garment the virgin daughters of the king wore. Tamar put ashes on her head and tore the ornamented robe she was wearing. She put her hand on her head and went away weeping aloud as she went. Her brother Absalom said to her, "Has Amnon your brother been with you? Be quiet now, my sister. He is your brother. Don't take this thing to heart." And Tamar lived in her brother Absalom's house, a desolate woman. When King David heard all this, he was furious. Absalom never said a word to Amnon, either good or bad. He hated Amnon because he had disgraced his sister Tamar. Thus the reading of God's word this morning as it comes to us from 2 Samuel chapter 13. This is a story about King David. Someone might ask, "How can you say that?" King David seems to have only a minor role, a small part in the story. He's mentioned in verse 7. He's mentioned in verse 21. But Amnon and Tamar, they are the main characters. But this is a story about King David. It is a story about the calamity that is going to come and has already started to come upon David's house. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, the prophet Nathan comes to David. And he tells David, "Now therefore the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. Thus saith the Lord, out of your own household I am going to bring calamity upon you." And so now that the calamity has come, already in the next chapter, David does nothing. And because David does nothing, a greater calamity will come. And the rest of the story of the calamity on David's house will become worse and worse through the rest of the book of 2 Samuel. And it all begins with this story. This is a story about obsession, fixation, fantasy, lust. It is a story about love and hate. There is a victim. A victim that's a princess, a daughter of David, a victim that suffers because of the calamity that has come upon David because of his sin. And because of David's sin, because he knows of all these things, when it comes time to do something, David is furious, but he does nothing. As I said a moment ago, this story is about David. And that is reflected already in the first verse of our story. In the first verse, the author identifies for us the characters in this story, the characters in this text. And if you look at the NIV translation, it does not adequately reflect the teaching of the Hebrew original. In fact, all the other translations name Absalom first, which is correct. In the course of time, Absalom, son of David. What does Absalom have to do with this story? Why is his name mentioned first? Because this is the beginning of the calamity that will come upon David's house. In the course of time, Absalom, son of David, had a beautiful sister named Tamar. And Amnon, son of David, was in love with her. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 3 clues us in as to what Amnon and Absalom's relationship is. They are born of different mothers. Absalom and Tamar are brother and sister, sons of David, son and daughter of David, of the same mother. Amnon is son of David, brother to Tamar, brother to Absalom, but born of a different mother, a stepbrother. And he's in love, we're told, with his stepsister. But what kind of love is this? Verse 2 clues us in. Amnon became frustrated to the point of illness on account of his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and it seemed impossible for him to do anything to her. We're told that Tamar is beautiful. We're told that she is a virgin. We're told that Amnon is frustrated, fixated, obsessed to the point of illness. He's made himself ill, is the language of most translations. And it seemed impossible for him to do anything to her. She is his sister, stepsister. And the laws of God, and certainly the rule of his father, would prevent him from marrying her. We're told that Amnon loves her, but is this love? He is fixated, he is frustrated, he is obsessed, he is fantasizing, and it seems impossible to him. But Amnon has a friend, a cousin, Jonadab. Jonadab is the son of David's brother, a relative to the family. And we're told in verse 3 that Jonadab is a very shrewd man. He looks at Amnon in verse 4 and he tells Amnon, "Why do you, the king's son, look so haggard morning after morning? Won't you tell me this is his friend?" He reminds Amnon that he is the king's son, the oldest son of David, the prince of Israel, the heir to the throne. Why does the king's son, who deserves only but the best, who deserves and takes all that he wants, why does he look so haggard morning after morning? Why won't you tell me? Amnon tells him, "I'm in love with Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." He's in love, we're told, fixated, with his sister. But it's impossible for him to do anything about it. So his friend, his cousin, Tamar's cousin, comes up with a plan. "Why should the king's son look so haggard? You are the king's son. But what is standing in the way? The king." So he comes up with a plan to get around the king. "Go to bed and pretend to be ill," verse 5. "When your father comes to see you, say to him, 'I would like my sister Tamar to come and to give me something to eat. Let her prepare the food in my sight so I may watch her and then eat it from her hand. Don't have her send it from the palace as a gift. Have her come into my sight so I may watch her and eat it directly from her hand. Have her come to my house." So Amnon does this. He lays down and pretends to be ill, and the king comes to him. And notice the speech of Amnon. "I would like my sister Tamar to come and make some special bread in my sight so I may eat from her hand." The speech of Jonadab is repeated in verse 6, only Amnon takes a shortcut. He doesn't use as many words. He picks and chooses what words of this speech he will use before the king. And notice what part is left out. "So I may watch her." I would like my sister Tamar to come and make some special bread in my sight so I may eat from her hand. Don't let Dad know that I want to watch her. That the fixated prince, the obsessed prince, obsessed to the point of illness, wants to watch her. In verse 7, David's words again reflect these two speeches we've already heard. And it's clear that by David's repetition of these words, he does not know what's going on. He sends word to Tamar at the palace in verse 7, go to the house of your brother Amnon and prepare some food for him. No mention of eating from your hand, preparing food in his sight so he may watch her. David simply hears the request of the prince and follows through, sending a message to the princess to go and to provide for her brother. After all, he's family. He's ill. This would make him feel better. Tamar wouldn't go to the house of the prince on her own. Only if the king commanded her and told her to. The king has sent word, and we're told in verse 8 that Tamar goes to the house of her brother Amnon, who was lying down. She took some dough, kneaded it, made the bread in his sight, and baked it. Then she took the pan and served him the bread. Notice how carefully the author tells us all the details, all the delay, all the effect given for the time that Amnon has time to watch and to think. To not do anything. Instead, when she takes the pan and serves him the bread in verse 9, he refused to eat. He's not interested in eating. He's not sick because he's hungry. He's sick because he's obsessed with his fantasy. Send everyone out of here, Amnon said. So everyone left him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, bring the food here into my bedroom. That's his plan. That's his fantasy. Not from a distance. Let's go into the bedroom so I may eat from your hand. Tamar took the bread she had prepared. She brought it to her brother Amnon in his bedroom, just as he requested. But when she took it to him to eat, he grabbed her and said, come to bed with me, my sister. Notice how our text progresses this morning. Notice the careful plan that goes through the different characters in our story. Jonadab tells Amnon a plan and he does it. Amnon makes a request to David, and he does it. David tells Tamar, beautiful Tamar, to go, and she does it. Amnon tells the servants to leave, and we're told that they do it. Amnon tells her to feed him in bed, and she goes into the bedroom, beautiful Tamar, and she does it. Amnon grabs Tamar's hand and says, come to bed with me, and she says, no. This fantasy that he is fixated, his obsession, what he wants, what he desires, the fulfillment of all these things he has carefully planned. Our text carefully articulates. Everything follows through as Amnon desires until Tamar says, no. Everyone in the passage has said yes, though David doesn't understand, till Tamar says no. Tamar pleads, don't, my brother. She tries to reason with him. Don't force me. Such a thing should not be done in Israel. Don't do this wicked thing. These are what the pagan nations do, Mr. Prince. What about me? Where could I get rid of my disgrace? You think you love me? And what about you? You would be like one of the wicked fools in Israel. Please speak to the king. He will not keep me from being married to you. Anything to prevent what he's doing. But he refused to listen to her. And since he was stronger than her, he raped her. What about love? We were told at the beginning that Amnon was in love with her. In verse 15, we're told that the love has turned to hate. Then Amnon hated her with intense hatred. In fact, he hated her more than he had loved her. Amnon said to her, "Get up and get out. This is not love. Amnon does not love his sister Tamar. He loves his obsession. He loved his fantasy. He loved his lust. He loves himself. And now that he's gotten what he wanted, get up and get out. You are a thing. You are an object. Get out. I'm done with you." "No," she said to him, verse 16, "sending me away would be a greater wrong than what you have already done to me. Sending me away, I cannot marry again. I'm no longer a virgin. I cannot be given away. I will be disgraced in all of Israel." But he refused to listen to her because he did not love her. And so the prince calls his personal servant. "Get that woman out of here and bolt the door. I'm done with her." And the servant put the princess out and bolted the door. She was wearing a richly ornamented robe, for this was the kind of garment the virgin daughters of the king wore. Tamar put ashes on her head. She tore the ornamented robe she was wearing. She put her hand on her head and she went away weeping aloud as she went. Her brother Absalom now comes into the story. He was mentioned at the beginning, the first name in our story. He comes back at the end. Absalom, Tamar's brother, Tamar's true brother, knows what was happening. He doesn't ask who, what, when. He asks, "Has that Amnon, your brother, been with you?" Tamar is disgraced. She's torn her robe. She's got ashes on her head. She's weeping aloud. Her brother tells her, "Be quiet, my sister. He is your brother. Don't take this to heart." And Tamar, who came from the palace, sent by her father, verse 7, doesn't return to the palace. She lives in her brother Absalom's house, a desolate woman. What about David? In verse 21, we're told that David heard all of it. He heard that he had been used. He heard what his oldest son, the prince, the heir to the throne, has done to his sister. And we're told that he's furious. He's angry, no, very angry. But that is all. Absalom never said a word to Amnon, either good or bad. He hated Amnon because he had disgraced his sister Tamar. Did you see the progression of the chiastic structure that we have in our text? At the beginning, we're told in verse 1 that Amnon loved Tamar. In verse 15, we're told that Amnon hated her with intense hatred. In fact, he hated her more than he had loved her. Love turned to hate. In verse 22, we're told that Absalom hated his brother Amnon because he had disgraced his sister Tamar. This is a story about King David. This is the story about the calamity that comes upon the house of King David. Absalom hates Amnon because of what he did to his sister Tamar. And King David is furious. Why does David not do more? Why does he not deal with his son and what his son has done to his sister? Why is he only angry? Why is he only furious, but no action taken? Because when David hears what his son has done, he is reminded of his own lust, his own obsession. He understands what it's like to look at a beautiful woman, beautiful Bathsheba, beautiful Tamar. He understands what it's like to be fixated, to be obsessed with your fantasy. He understands what it's to use others to fulfill what you desire. He's done the same. He understands adultery. And now his sin is found in his own house. And David is angry. But that is all. The Lord sent a prophet to confront David in his sin. David does not send anyone. When Bathsheba weeps for her child at the end of chapter 12, David goes to her and comforts her and takes her as his wife. He doesn't throw her out. Amnon throws her out, tells his servant to bolt and lock the door. Absalom tells Tamar, his beautiful sister, "Be quiet. He is your brother. Do not take this to heart." Where is the king? Where is the comfort for Tamar? Where is the justice? Where is David dealing with his son to prevent the calamity to come upon his house? He's furious. That is all. Who will restore Tamar? Who will bring beautiful Tamar out of her desolation? Who will give her words of comfort instead of, be silent, my sister? Who will assure her that she is loved, that she is not an object, but that there is love and compassion for her, not lust? It wasn't her father. Who will restore her dignity? Who will protect her so that her integrity will never be violated? Who will allow her to dry her hot tears on him and say, I do not condemn thee? Who will never say, get away from me, get that woman out of here, but come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest? Who will make her whole? Who will heal her broken heart? Who will wipe those ashes off her head? Who will say, you can live in my palace? I will take away your reproach. I will bring you into a family where you will never be violated, never used, never abused, never treated as an object or a thing. Come to the palace of the King of Kings. Come into my house, my kingdom. Take away your garments of shame. Let me cover your shame with my spotless robe. In that house they will sing Alleluia to the King of Kings. And he shall wipe every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more crying, no more weeping, no more pain. For David's greater son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has made all things new. David is furious, that is all. The Son of David has come to die and take away sin and disgrace. And he sees victims with compassion and love. That is the hope of all those outside and inside the church who have been abused. Jesus does not abandon those who believe in him, but he restores them. And he will not allow those inside and outside the church who act like Amnon to get away with it. He will bring them to justice. Amen. Father in heaven, we know this morning as we have read this passage, it's a troubling passage. It's one that we look to and we read your word and some wonder why it's here. Yet, Lord, we see the glory in the passage. For we see the failures of earth, of earthly kings, of earthly princes, of earthly fathers. We see a poor, innocent victim suffering at the hands of one she trusted. Yet, Lord, we see the salvation of our Savior. For we know in the Scriptures, in this passage, the hope is not in the characters in the story. The hope is beyond. The hope is in your Son, Jesus Christ, who has come. The Lord Jesus, who alone can restore those who have been abused as Tamar. That, Lord, in that Son we find your glory, your restoration, your deliverance forevermore. In your Son we find justice, for he deals with all. He gives us the hope of eternal life. He gives us the hope that we will never be abandoned, no matter what has happened to us in this earthly life, because of the salvation of Jesus Christ. We are his forever and will dwell with him forever in his palace. Oh God, there are so many pains in this world that even your people suffer. And in this world, sometimes it feels as if we never get over them. But Lord, that's why we always look beyond this world. We look to Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, we long for that day to be part of that eternal family that is forever. That family which we belong to. That family where there is no pain, no suffering, only joy at serving the King of Kings, the true Shepherd, who has compassion and love for us, who died for us, so we could be restored to be with him forever. We pray, O God, that he would come soon. Come soon so that we could see this light, so that we could enjoy his deliverance forevermore. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.